Thanks for listening to the Lakers Fast Break Podcast, part of the Hoopheads Podcast Network. Check out all their awesome basketball shows today at hoopheadspod.com. We're back with another episode of the Lakers Fast Break Podcast. It's Gerald Glassford coming right back at you here from Lakers Fast Break, Pop Culture Cosmos, Inside Sports, Fantasy Football, and Game Source. We truly appreciate everyone out there listening to all of our shows. And if you can, please give us a 5-star review wherever you get your podcasts. There you go. Plus, if you can also check out everything that we do at the Pop Culture Cosmos, Lakers Fast Break, Inside Sports, Fantasy Football, Game Source, the great folks at Lakerholics.com. Be part of the conversation today at Lakerholics.com, where there's some great articles by Jamie Sweet with his 5 things articles, like 5 stars on Apple Podcasts, plus Laker Tom right there for you. Plus also as well, Ox1947, a.k.a. Joe Soro at LakersBall.com. Be part of the great conversations there at LakersBall.com. Plus our good friends at the Hoopheads Podcast Network. It is sincerely appreciated. Well, I thought that things were going to be even more fun when it concerns the Russell Westbrook drama. And it even gets more fun than that, because it seemed like with Russell Westbrook and his continuing, I guess, delving into a dark place when it concerns his situation with the Lakers. Obviously, his breakup with his agent that we discussed on the weekend, and that bad parting of the ways, and the words that were stated by the agent in regards to Russell Westbrook's dissatisfaction with the team said a lot. Also, as well, you had LeBron and Russell Westbrook sitting on opposite sides of the Lakers preseason game, the summer league game, and Russell was sitting behind the bench and totally ignored LeBron, and LeBron was sitting in the front row totally ignoring Russell Westbrook. So we had that situation where it looked like it was getting worse and worse and worse. Well, lo and behold, we get a breaking news from Chris Haynes at Yahoo Sports, stating that, I guess, there was a conference call. Was it the Lakers that set it up? Was it the agents that set it up? Was it the players themselves set it up? But Anthony Davis, LeBron James, and Russell Westbrook had a meeting, had a conference call in the first weekend of Summer League, had a airing out of, guess, whatever emotions or whatever was going on between them as far as the rift is concerned. And I guess all three are now harmoniously on the same page. Everything is great and fine and dandy and wonderful. And it looks like all three are now focused on working with each other as we headed to training camp here in a few weeks. But is that the best thing for the Lakers? Is that the best thing for Lakers fans? We're going to talk about that real quick on today's show, as a good man is here to discuss that with the Call of Doom. As they say, as far as the advertisement is concerned, did one phone call really do it all? And here today to talk about that is a guy I called up to go ahead and answer that question. A good man indeed. You got to go ahead and check out his 5 things articles at Lakerholics.com. It is Mr. Jamie Sweet, Admiral Akbar. I think Admiral Akbar might have been on the phone in regards to that, saying this is a trap for Lakers fans.
I organized everything.
There you go. So what does this do, my friend? I mean, great, they're on the same page. Really help anything in regards to the Lakers fans and the Lakers season upcoming?
Yeah. I don't know, man. So, all right. Like, I had pretty much, you know, come to a place of, All right, first let's just start things. Hold on, real quick. First off, before we go anywhere, I don't know. Well, I feel like, you know, it's like the Sherlock Holmes movie, right? Where like somebody says something, but then he like takes you back a little bit and is like, you know, goes through his like the things that lead you up to the moment that you just saw happening that was about to happen, but there's all this other, you know what I mean? Like,
yes.
So, and I mean the Sherlock Holmes movies, the modern ones. Anyhow. So first off, I'd like to say happy Pride Month. We're almost done with Pride Month. And so happy Pride to all of our LGBTQAI plus allies out there.
Yes.
And Laker fans, who I'm sure there are many. And so I just want to say happy Pride. Second is, I don't know if this helps anybody, to be honest. I think that when the news came out that Russell wanted to be wanted, I thought that that was the first time that any shred of humanity had entered into this whole circus. Because if you get into the circus that started when the Lakers didn't make the play-in, probably started a couple of months before that, 3-4 months before that, to be honest, but really started once the Lakers didn't make the play-in, to this moment in time, right here where you and I are talking about it, there has been nothing but certainty from people who have nothing to do with anything that Russell Westbrook was A, not wanted by the Lakers, was certainly going to be traded, and there would at least be three teams lining up to make that happen. Mm-hmm. And from the beginning, I've questioned that narrative because of three reasons. One, Russell Westbrook's contract is massive. His fit is difficult unless you've planned to have Russell Westbrook on your team. Uh-huh. And all the teams that had the cap space and or the players to add him were either like competitive, like that they don't need to redo the roster to the tune of $47 million. Like it doesn't need, you know, that's like saying, well, you need an oil change. Well, let's look at some other things we can add to this cost before I get that oil change. Let's put some air in the tires. How much you going to charge me for that? And let's maybe put another muffler on the car. I don't need one, but let's put another muffler on the car, because that was like the logic of these trade proposals. I felt like hardly any of the teams mentioned in the trade proposals are up in the luxury tax apron. They're not paying taxes. They're not big spenders, nor do they ever want to be, which again makes the acquiring of Russell Westbrook cost prohibitive. His deal will have the most value the 5 minutes before the trade deadline ends. And there's no logical reason that I've seen put forth to me by anybody that makes me think that, of course, in that moment, there will probably be two or three teams who are like, we're out of the playoffs. This player is still underperforming or hasn't panned out the way we hoped it would. This is when we're willing to pick up the phone and make that Russell Westbrook deal. Because the other thing about the Westbrook deal, it will never not be on the table. It's on the table right now. It was on the table at the trading deadline last season. It'll be on the table in 2 weeks. It'll be on the table until it's picked up or it doesn't happen. It's not going away. Even if the Lakers come out and say right now, oh, we had a big powwow and we're not.
Kumbaya, everything's all right, great.
That's BS. That's not the truth. Everybody is just saying what they need to say to cover their rear ends, to continue the 24-hour news cycle and keep feeding that beast and keep, you know, keep the machine moving, and to just try to like see what happens with like seven other unfolding scenarios that honestly, if you think about it, have very little to do with what the Lakers are trying to do, nor any other teams out there inclined to do the Lakers any favors at all. Like, it's like saying, like, you know what? The Yankees are having some problems with their roster. Who wants to bail the Yankees out? Answer comes back. Nobody. Nobody wants to bail the Yankees out. People like to see the Yankees fail. People like to see the Lakers fail. People like to see LeBron James fail. All of these things are exactly what this summer has all been about. Portraying this narrative as the Lakers failing, the Lakers doing this. The Lakers have actually said very little other than a cryptic tweet by Jeannie Buss that she went on live TV and explained, to my satisfaction at least, other people can have their opinions, the fact that Rob Pelinka engaged other teams in trade talks during the time when he trades trade players in the summer. Like, oh, the news of it all. And finally, you know, these kind of like somebody said, you know, Chris Haynes heard from somebody, we don't know who, somebody. I mean, none of it is actual journalism. It's all just like, I got to the point a day, almost a day ago, but like this today was just like the last, like, it's just absurd. Like,
Pretty sure this call happened.
I'm not saying the call didn't happen. That's not the point I'm making. The point I'm making is that this part of the NBA season and this part of sport is to me the most boring because it's all subjective, it's all circumstantial, and it has nothing to do with competition. It has everything to do with how television works and how now social media works and how people make money and have jobs off of those things. And so it's, to me, the most boring part of the season. I think some people love this part of the NBA more than the actual games in the NBA. I think that, like, you know, Gabe,
for me, it's kind of close. I'm just going to say that.
I don't begrudge, you know, I don't like to watch wrestling. My wife likes wrestling. Like, we got married. It's not a deal breaker for me. But point being is that I won't be surprised that, like, and then, like, now people are like, oh, but, like, so yeah, okay, like, this phone, it's like people in their garages are putting up like yarn and pins on a map, and it's like, okay, well, like, Russell and LeBron and AD had this conversation at 7 o'clock the day before he was watching the Phoenix game from the behind the bench, and LeBron was cross court, and they didn't talk at all. And then, of course, there's this tweet after Russ has fired his agent from Rich Paul that LeBron tweets right back on, and these tweets are like nothing. It's like, oh, it's like a cold ass business, and LeBron is like, yeah, man, whoa, that doesn't mean anything. It means nothing. That's like somebody saying, like, what's up, dude? Are you trying to kill me? Like, the reaction to what's up, dude, being you trying to kill me. Like, everything is, like, based on the amount of information provided, like, the reaction is completely proportional to what it all actually, I think, means. The Genie tweet being a perfect example of how, like, when I read the Genie tweet, I was like, of course I can infer subtext or, you know, even more likely project subtext onto a tweet, because a tweet is top five worst ways to communicate emotion on planet Earth. And that's just the reality of the medium. You know, I'm not going to ask a painter to design me a car. Like, the way journalism works now, based on these cryptic tweets, and like, well, let's have a half hour, let's go on TV, live TV with like Adrian Wojnarowski. And like, there's a level of it where I'm like, aren't you supposed to be the professional? Shouldn't you have more access than just a Twitter feed from like four or five different people? And I feel like the line between the amateur and the professional is increasingly getting blurred. And this situation with the Lakers, it's just very interesting to me. This is what I think. I think, you know, what's good for the Lakers is one of two things. You're either going to prepare for a world where Russell Westbrook is on the team because you're pretty sure you can't trade him before camp, or you know you're going to trade him at some point. You're kind of just waiting for August 4th for LeBron to commit one way or another so that that cat's like out of the bag. And you know, like, okay, we're building around LeBron for sure, or we're not building around for sure, because we're talking about LeBron James, who may or may not have learned a lot from the decision, but is somebody who is just fine, like, deciding in a moment that this is what I'm going to do. Actually, never mind. I know we had all these plans. I'm going to go to Cleveland now. Thanks, Miami. Cleveland, I'm leaving. Go take my towels. You know, so I can understand there being a large amount of hesitancy on the Lakers' part, simply because of how LeBron has conducted his free agency business in the past. I mean, you can't just ignore that, I don't think, as a team. You know, just like you can't ignore a serious knee injury in the past or anything like that. Those are all the things that, like, make up the player and his impact on your organization. And nobody has a bigger impact on the Lakers organization than LeBron James right now. So I can understand them wanting to not just hear it over the phone, but watch him write it on the Hollywood Walk of Fame in cement. Like, yes, I will sign an extension on August 4th. For another year or not. You know, that's the shoe I think will have, that's what everybody's waiting for to drop, is that shoe.
This is Raphael from NBADraftJunkies.com, and you are listening to the Lakers Fast Break.
Check out what's been going on with the Pop Culture Cosmos Show and the PCC Multiverse.
if you have a better movie in the can, why is that not the movie that you released in the first place?
I would say it's more culturally relevant than The Simpsons and Rick and Morty. Like, it has become a staple of American entertainment.
I think Dragon Age 4 is carrying the future of BioWare on its shoulders.
That's the Pop Culture Cosmo Show.
And the PCC Multiverse.
Catch our shows on Worldwide Radio 7 days a week and wherever you get your podcasts. Hey, Lakers fans. Looking for the best place to go for up-to-date news, information, original videos, articles, podcasts, opinion pieces, and discussions about the Los Angeles Lakers? Well, look no further than LakerHolics.com. With a legion of followers always there talking about everything Lakers and the NBA, there's no better place to go to share your fandom as the team heads toward another championship run. So stop by and be part of the conversation today at LakerHolics.com.
It's so funny because you, in your rant, per se...
a little bit of a rant, I apologize.
Indicate, and, no, you're good. I mean, my gosh, we have Laker Tom and Joe Soro.
We're not even 15 minutes yet. What am I apologizing?
Yeah, exactly.
And you had an intro, so that was like seven, 8 minutes at most.
When you mentioned, though, professional wrestling, you and your wife, you said you don't like it, she does... I absolutely love professional wrestling, but in this modern age where the match quality isn't always as it once was, I think that the behind the scenes is just as fun and just as interesting to watch as what goes on in the ring. And in the NBA, it's a very close call as well. And Terrell Davis said it like right there in the comments, actually reported again by Chris Haynes at yahoo.com, is that they did have that conversation in the first week of Summer League. So that's even worse that it happened, because that's around the time just before or right around the time that the supposed diss of each other between Russell Westbrook and LeBron James happened, that first Friday of Summer League, when they both didn't communicate to each other, even though they were right across the court from each other. And then it leads into the breakup of what you see with him, Russell Westbrook, and his agent, and what his agent said out loud, as we indicated on the show over the weekend, in regards to what he advised his client and what his client ultimately wants to do. So that tells me, from that phone conversation, a lot might have changed in the mind of Russell Westbrook. Could that call have happened first, the diss happened second, and now the disgruntlement by Russell Westbrook happened third? Plus the fact that he's been shopped around as far as his contract around by Rob Pelinka now for weeks, and there seems to be very little interest unless you're going to attach the farm to it, and the Lakers don't want to attach the farm to it.
It's a pretty small farm.
Yeah, exactly, for with whatever dearth of assets they have left, which is basically THT and the two first rounders. That's pretty much all they can go ahead and attach to it. I know other teams have, you know, rumored to be expressing, hey, if you get a third team involved, so you get us more assets, what are they going to offer this third team? Why would the third team want to go ahead into this? So really it comes down to between a rock and a hard place, but this is getting a lot more serious. But when Chris Haynes reported they all had a conference call that was done during the time of Summer League, and then you see what happened since, it really makes things a lot more played out as far as this Russell Westbrook drama is concerned.
I mean, does it really? I think it does.
I think it tells me that they thought they were on the same page, and now they're not.
So so there's two things that I think can be taken two ways, and are predominantly being taken one way. And again, this is where I use the example of the genie tweet, because for about 2 weeks, Jeannie was lambasted for the tweet as like, she wants LeBron to commit to the team and da 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 da. And he can't. He can't do it. She knows this. He knows this. They don't want to get fined for tampering. They don't want to lose one of the two draft picks they're trying to trade for doing something dumb. He has to wait. Everybody has to wait until August 4th. There can't be a wink. There can't be a nod. The perception of any of that will lead to, at the very least, a fine. The Lakers honestly have no interest in paying. So right away, I took it as like, no, she was super close with Kobe. This is a rough patch to be in. She just spent a boatload of money on a team that didn't even make the play-in. Free agency has, I would say gone at about a D plus C minus clip for the Lakers right about now. Their second round draft pick flamed out in the summer league. Some of the undrafted guys look like they might be able to, you know, compete for a back end of the bench spot. I'll have to see Cole Swider play defense at something like an NBA level before I believe he can hang with the big boys. But the team is not in a good place. So for somebody to have an emotional reaction to that, we're all having emotional reactions to that. Laker fans are not happy right now. Nobody's stoked. Nobody's like, you know what? Last season was promising. zero people are saying last season was promising and aren't sure about what we're building for the future. On top of that, whether it be a competitive team around LeBron James and Anthony Davis, or the idea of a Laker future with Anthony Davis without LeBron James, and so on and so forth. There's a lot of uncomfortable topics out there. So it's understandable that there is a lot of tension in the air around the team, because it's A, the Lakers, and they operate with a high degree of tension, and B, it's the NBA, and they just love tension no matter what. So I read the Russell Westbrook, the timing of this report is, to me, the most odd thing. You would have thought that in order to strengthen the Lakers' position, they would have announced, trumpeted this down the halls the day it happened, if the Lakers were in on it in any way, shape, or form.
Exactly.
It would have made their position 0.5% stronger. You know, like, oh, at least they're all like, they're down to play with one another. They buy into Coach Ham's vision. Sounds like they're down to play with another. But that's not what happened. Somebody sat on this for a month.
It's 2 weeks.
Summer League is only 2 weeks long. So point being, somebody sat on it for a little while. And now
about 10 days.
Yeah, it's been a while, especially for the media news cycle. Rather than strengthening whatever position we had at the time, which albeit was none, admittedly, it's a poor position the Lakers are in from a trade perspective. So that makes me think it was either somebody in one of the three players' camps, or one of the three players themselves, or that when the Lakers finally heard about it, which I think is the most likely, they leaked it to somebody, you know, a guy who they knew would put it out there without really worrying about the impact. So I take that news with a huge grain of salt in terms of I don't think it does much to impact anything at all. I think that Russell Westbrook's agent message, it can also be viewed two ways. One, it's somebody who is.
Just to put everybody out there again, to remind everybody, when they had their breakup on Friday and officially announced that Russell Westbrook was leaving his agent of 14 years, the agent went on a public statement to ESPN stating that he had advised his client to go ahead, and the best course of action was to try and work it out with the Lakers, try and see if you can give Darvin Ham's vision for him as a continued starting point guard for the Lakers a try. And it seemed like Russell Westbrook was resisting on that direction that was being presented to him, and that he wanted a different direction in place, and that it would require a lot of assets that would be given by the Lakers in order to go ahead and move him on. And if that's the case, he would most likely be bought out, and his market value for the rest of his career would suffer continuously thereafter.
I don't think there's any question that that's already a reality. So that's where
both know that really right now.
Right. So that's that, file that one under kind of like a no doy file, right? Like, yeah, his next deal will not be for the max. There's no way he gets the max from any team he plays on next year, no matter where it is.
Let's say a bounce back season to anywhere near the player he once was. We're talking about someone that would be 35 negotiating on a new contract.
Exactly. Everything's against them. And that's this. We're also entering the phase of a lot of these guys' career where they've been on top of the NBA for 10 years.
Yeah.
They've been the top five, top 10 player in the NBA for a solid 5 to 10 years, depending on which one of them you are. And they're hitting that. You're not a top 5 or 10 player anymore, Wall. And they're not, you know, Kevin Durant's trade request is a perfect example of like somebody who's probably pretty out of touch with his actual value on the NBA marketplace. Nobody wants to trade the boat for Kevin Durant. Nobody wants to trade the boat for Kyrie Irving, who's arguably still in his prime, and nobody wants to trade the boat for Russell Westbrook because you don't think they're going to make it very long. The only lure for the Westbrook contract is that it's expiring. The only lure for Irving's contract is that it's expiring, and you might be able to save some money, you know, when he chooses not to play games. So from an economic standpoint, those two guys are kind of a wash, right? Like, yeah, you get those guys and it's an economic wash and it's not really building anything. We save a little money. Maybe we get a draft pick when this guy isn't even going to be GM anymore. And cool. Awesome. Let's do that deal. But it's not an exciting, nothing about either one of those guys is a general, and Durant as well. Durant, obviously, I'm sure Phoenix would love to, would have loved to have like signed and traded Ayton for Durant. That would have been a dream scenario. It was never going to happen. New Jersey cannot get that little for Durant. They don't probably won't get a Gobert haul, or like they'll just meet a Gobert haul and it'll might look a little off one way or the other until you see how some of the pieces play out. But KD's 34 going on 35 with serious leg injuries in his past. Like just the way you, that factors into the analysis. I don't care how good you looked for the 40-ish games you played, 60 games you played last season. It's not enough for that level of investment. That level of investment is now for the Ja Morants, the Luka Doncic's, the
Rudy Gobert's.
Well, that's blame Utah for that. Blame Utah and blame Minnesota for overvaluing what they needed to ship out for him. Hard for me to imagine Utah didn't think they could get
something.
I'm not going
to blame Utah for that. I'd take
I mean, well, for the extension originally. He got a max deal, dude. Max deal, and he can't barely score in the modern NBA. You know, he's never get. Yeah, dude. Terrell Davis is 100% right. He's gonna get the mid level at best. And this is where I think the crux of the argument between he and his the because remember, nobody quit. It was over irreconcilable differences, which means one person saw themselves one way, the other person saw themselves the other way. Russell Westbrook has yet to come out and say what his irreconcilable difference was. All we have is this public service announcement from his agents, which is, as you said, focuses mainly on his future value, not even like his real current role. Like, just embrace it. Whatever it is, your future value, I'm sure he was telling him, is garbage. Like, or if he wasn't, he was somebody who was completely blowing smoke. The other thing I can imagine is, you know, if Russ is thinking like, oh, well, my next deal is probably not going to be for very much. Why do I need to keep paying you?
I mean,
why not?
One thing I want to ask you before we head on out is that, okay, with everything that's been said and done, do you think that magical phone call did anything? Because it seems like ever since then, since it took place reportedly in the first week of Summer League, that we've seen a continual spiral downhill by Russell Westbrook ever since. Did that conference call, did that unification call do anything to help serve the Lakers long term?
I mean, I think it's a PR perception that that's what's going on. I don't know that that's true about Russ, because from what little I've read, he's been supportive of the Laker bench through Summer League. He showed up at Darvin Ham's press conference. That's about it. And now this thing with the agent, like that's the actual news on the Russ front. And then a lot of the smoke and debris around it is a lot of that. It's just like other people's mess that they're just sort of pushing in his general direction, because he's a pretty easy target right now, you know, and people got to talk about something, and they're always going to talk about the Lakers and you know, the LeBron extension are the only things we're talking about. We're not drafting anyone exciting. We don't have any young players that are all that exciting. It's, what are we going to do with these old guys? You know? And so it just ends up being kind of a mudslinging affair.
So, I mean, I think the worst situation will be is what something Terrell Davis alluded to, and I'll add on to it, is if they go into camp, you have this malcontent in Russell Westbrook. You've done really nothing since then. If they do, there's nothing done as far as to unify all this together, to have another conference call per se, and then LeBron does not go ahead and sign the extension.
Well, this is what I'm saying. All of this, right, is really only leading up to that moment, and so it's all speculation at this point. To almost know the substance of it is, and then we just have to wait and see what LeBron does, right? Because one way or another, he's on the team at least starting on August 8th, August 4th, one way or another, with an extension or without. And the Lakers
I think I'm getting a conference call I'm going to set up between you, Laker Tom, and Joe Soro to make sure we unify everyone.
Okay, yeah. Hold on. My long-winded and rambling point is I don't think it's going to matter too much if Russell Westbrook is there on day one of training camp. I think that, okay. And I'll tell you why. Everybody in the organization is prepared for that day. Whether the players are, whether the media is, it almost doesn't matter.
Oh, the media will love it if he's there.
Oh, can you imagine? I mean, I always love to watch the Spectrum Sports Laker Media Day because it's all like fluff, right? It's all fluff. How can it be fluff this year? There's no way that somebody's going to have to say, rough summer, huh?
Yeah.
You know, it's been a summer, huh? Ready for fall? It's coming. I mean, and the only thing I can hope that Russ does, whatever happens, the only thing I want Russell Westbrook to do is take all of this and use it to fuel his game. Bring your game back, get pissed, be angry.
Hit some jump shots,
make some layups. Oh, really, I could live without the jump shots. Just make some layups.
Consistently.
Yeah, give me like 60% layup finishing rate, baby. I can live with that from a guy who gets to the rim as easily as he still does. And, you know.
Less turnovers.
Whatever. We could say that about LeBron. We could even say that about AD at this point. They're good. They're all good for about 5 a game. Just because they got the ball in their hands a lot. Defenses are keyed in on them. But yes, of course, all around, less turnovers, share the ball better, play more defense. These are the things that it's all going to come down to anyway. And, you know, and if Russ is on the team or Russ is not on the team, it won't matter because if LeBron James and Anthony Davis aren't healthy, we're not going anywhere anyway. Right. Sure. So you swap Kyrie for Russ. That truth is still self-evident. They're going as far as those two guys take them. The one thing I don't think will happen on any planet and any world and any reality or any dimension. And I'm talking about all the dimensions in the Marvel universe and Battlestar Galactica is Russ being paid not to play. Don't see it happening. Don't see him getting waved and stretched. Don't see it happening.
Yeah. Tom is starting to go ahead and suggest that. I know.
And that's why people should. Like, it's good. It's great for talking. You won't convince me because I don't see it happening. So there it is. Like, feel free to, you know, pontificate it on you all you will. I think that the Lakers and LeBron and AD would do well to, they'll never take the deal off the table. But they should at least publicly say they're taking the deal. But you know what I mean? Like, it's never, come on. Like, if somebody were like, all right, Carl Anthony Towns, and yes, please, yes, we'll right away, sir. But, you know, just say that he's off the block. Like, shut it down, you know? Just shut it down. They should do it and save Darvin Ham like an extra 15 minutes at the beginning of practice, first practice, saying like, all right, I just want to address the elephant in the room, which is all the BS that happened this summer from the time you guys were eliminated and with Frank to this moment now with me here. And, you know, hopefully he and Phil get some sage, get everybody in a room, have a little meditation session, chill out a little bit, and it'll be fine. They're professionals.
Okay.
I know.
They
don't have a choice. Like that. Like,
yeah. Right now,
LeBron, what is he going to do? Sabotage a year of his career that he's like chasing like milestone records?
Not this late at all. Indeed.
Technically, but, Russell Westbrook's at a contract year. He has to at least want to try to believe he can make John Wall money, right? That's like the low bar now, right? Like, from Max to Clippers. And if he can get somebody's actual cap space somehow, that will mean he's played at an all-star level again. And everybody who was okay with Russ on the team last season, but was ended up kind of being, you know, wrong, can be like, oh, see, it only took a year for it to work out with a different coach and a couple of different other guys and not being the all AARP team of the NBA. So, you know, we'll see. I think that if he's on the team, they better figure out a way to welcome him back. And it's going to be really hard for Coach Ham. I'll leave it at that.
So the drama continues for Russell Westbrook after the purported call that was done during the first week of Summer League between Anthony Davis, Russell Westbrook. There you go. Love Unites. And of course, LeBron James. Unfortunately, it didn't seem to help matters, even though they thought they were all on a unified front, seemed to go ahead and sour from there. But we want to hear your thoughts always on what you think is going on with this situation and the Russell Westbrook saga as it continues to play out. We'd love to hear your thoughts. Lakers Fast Break on Facebook. Go ahead and like that page if you can. Subscribe today on YouTube. If you're not a subscriber today on YouTube, we truly need your help in subscribing. Please, we go ahead. It'll let you know exactly when we go on the air for Lakers Fast Break. Also at Lakers Fast Break on Twitter. And of course, LakersFastBreak@yahoo.com. Terrell Davis, who's been tremendous in the chat. Also John as well. And also good friend from India, Cricket. There you go. Appreciate you watching as well. Terrell Davis, one last thing for you, my friend. We're going to go ahead from the episode of the shop. I'm talking the LeBron James that doesn't want to play with Westbrook. No way. Well, he says a lot on that show.
Says a lot on that show, man.
I don't know if it's all for show.
I thought after the episode with DeMar DeRozan that DeMar DeRozan was going to be a Laker no matter what. Like when he had DeMar on the road, I was like, oh, DeMar's a free agent in like a few months. He's a Laker for sure.
I think you can only take so much from that show. I know he purposely says things on that show that just to go ahead and get people talking. Well, he did play with DeRozan over the weekend, so and they only won by two. But you know, I digress on that.
Yeah,
true. Yeah. The Drew League indeed. But if you have any questions for us,
it's not Drew League for defense. It's Drew League for wow. That's just a lot of shooting, isn't it?
Yes, yes. Ox 1947. Love unites. Fear controls. That it does indeed. But
does
my
it?
Friend
does it
before yes before we head on out, wanted to go ahead and give you the chance to plug your latest article, 5 things at Lakerholics.com.
Yeah, the last one was like middle of the week last week, and it was a world where it's basically a what happens when the Kyrie Irving trade doesn't go through and why the Nets would not maybe make the Kyrie Irving trade. You know, in a nutshell, it's if they're going to keep KD, who for whatever whacktastic reason likes playing with Kyrie Irving, then the number one way to get KD back into the fold and on the same page is to not trade Kyrie Irving. Like, if you're not going to find somebody to take KD, you keep Kyrie. Like, that's kind of a no-brainer. And it's not like, where's Joe? We're about to have our conference call. Hold on,
yes.
Everybody.
No, not right now.
I'm just kidding. There's a whole world of reasons why the Nets don't need to make a Kyrie Irving trade at this juncture. Everything right now is an at this juncture kind of a thing, because like I said, Russell Westbrook's going to be on that table. That phone line is open 24/7, 365. And you know what? There might even be there's more offer in it for you if you're lucky, in the form of THT or none. That deal is going nowhere. Everybody knows it. There's no rush to cash in on the Russell Westbrook contract. Makes the most sense to have the Lakers hold on to it the longest, because then the buyout at the end is the cheapest for your team. You want the Lakers to pay as much of that contract as humanly possible. That's just, you know, one of the simple, in my mind, it's a pretty simple economic reason to grasp, but it hasn't really caught fire out there on the old internet. So, whatever.
Ox 1947, aka Joe Sorrell, said Kyrie didn't show up the Drew League, even though he was reportedly going to go ahead and do so because he was helping Phil Handy with his basketball camp. See, that part doesn't come out too much later. Everybody just does the report on he didn't show up, because that's all the rumors we get at first. And then we find out what's going on later on. But
Joe, you're 100% right about THT. 100%.
Yes. No one wants THT. Only Laker Tom thinks somebody
wants
him.
He's got long arms.
Yes, only Laker Tom thinks someone wants him outside the Lakers, and well, someone that doesn't shoot well, doesn't play great defense because he
doesn't
move
jump
his
well,
feet.
Isn't fast.
He doesn't move his feet well. No. Yeah,
he's not fast. He's not quick. He's not. Yeah. He's got long arms. He's like Mr. Fantastic, but without the brain. And
he did finish better a little bit last year. I know that was an issue of mine, is that he was not exactly the best finisher.
I think the pressure
world.
Was off by the time he started playing well. He could just go out and play and not worry about contributing to a championship effort.
Yeah, but he is not a desired individual out there in the NBA.
He didn't do well in the pressure cooker with the spotlight. No. So we'll see. Yeah. You know.
We'll see indeed, my friend.
I'm rooting for everybody who's on the roster when camp starts. That's all I know. That's what I do every season.
It's going to be fun. Yes.
It's going to be fun.
Like I said, professional wrestling. I love it behind the scenes even more, my friend. And the same thing.
Yeah, and I'm going to see you, Gerald, between those ropes in that ring. And it's going to be a massacre.
I'm going to get you in the cage, man. I'm going to get you in the cage.
No way, man. No way.
There you go. Absolutely. Ooh. It might be a cage match coming up at training camp. We'll wait and see. But if you have any questions for us.
That's what Darvin Ham should do. He should get a boxing ring on the, you know, just bring in a boxing ring. Bring everybody like, let's get it. Let's work it out, boys.
He should get a chair and just whap it over everybody on the top. I would
love
back,
that. I would love it. If the first day of practice was sparring with one another, that would be dope. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Let me tell you something, brother.
Brother.
Yeah, absolutely. Indeed.
That's but my era of wrestling too, Joe, is the Hulk Hogan OG on Channel 4.
Hulkamania, oh, yeah. Indeed.
Now we're just wasting the internet's time.
But if you have any thoughts on the Russell Westbrook saga as it continues to unfold, even after the conference call, even after the Friday night diss at the Summer League, even after the next Friday night breakup with him and his longtime agent, if you have any thoughts on that, what's going on, and the future of where this is headed, please let us know. Lakers Fast Break on Twitter, LakersFastBreak@yahoo.com, and of course, Lakers Fast Break on Facebook, Twitch, and YouTube, where you need to subscribe. Please subscribe on YouTube. Too sweet. That's right. Too sweet indeed. But Mr. Jamie Sweet, truly appreciate you stopping by. Hoping I can get you back on one of our shows upcoming.
I know. All depending on your time. I love the group chats. I'm sorry I've missed those last couple times. I've been the summer's like, you know, I'm all over the place with my 4-year-old and producing a thing every month on a Wednesday. It's just a lot for a man, Gerald. I don't know how you do it. You have like 10 shows and you still have a life of some sort. It's amazing.
Well, let's worry about that life part. I'll get you guys on the conference call and we'll see what happens there.
I think it's coming through now. Hold on.
Yeah, there you go. Great. Okay. All right. Hey, Joe. Hey, Laker Tom. Hey, Sean Grice. There you go.
We're all cool, right, bro?
We're all cool. Shaka Broad. Yeah. Don't have to tell me twice. Absolutely.
Kumbaya.
Absolutely. We'll all sing around the campfire just to make sure. But my friend, it's been great having you here. Also great to having Joe, having Terrell, having John, having a new friend from India, Cricket, also as well here. Thank you so much in the chat. Thank you to everybody who spent a little bit of time of their day just trying to catch up on the latest Russell Westbrook drama. Hope you found it interesting, as we always do. If there's anything new that arises in the Russell Westbrook drama, the Russell Westbrook saga as it continues, we'll let you know. We'll keep you updated, and we'll keep talking about it because we love talking about it right here at the Lakers Fast Break Podcast.